And just before I had Pastor Brito come up, I just wanted to share a few things. Brother Dennis's message was really, it touched my heart. It's really connected with what we're doing in India and what I feel God would have us to, all of us, to think about in these days. There's so many things to worry about, so many things with ourselves, but yet Jesus says, don't worry. He says, I'll take care of all that. But at the end of the scripture that Brother Dennis read, it said, what Jesus said was, you seek first the kingdom of God. I'll take care of the stuff you need, but you seek the kingdom of God. And along with that, I have a Bible verse I'd like to read. I just want to read part of a Bible verse, Luke 12, verse 48. Jesus said, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. There's no denying that we have been very, very blessed in this nation, in our culture. As you've seen in the video, in India, there's so few that have even a fraction of the privileges we have, and so many that are living in utter poverty that even the poorest among us can't even imagine. With blessings comes responsibility. That's what Jesus is saying here. When something is given to you, there's also responsibility, and with responsibility comes accountability to the Lord. We have been blessed. What things are we required? What is the Lord requiring in return for our blessing? Well, I believe that there are a few things. One of those things, the Lord gave a commandment. He said in John 15, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We are required to love. When Jesus announced his ministry in Luke 4:18, he said, I'm come to preach healing to the brokenhearted. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, there's so many brokenhearted. We see them all around us here in our culture, and we've seen so many in India. They're just utterly broken. There's millions of people that just, they have a broken heart. How do you heal somebody with a broken heart? What do they need? What a broken heart needs is love. So how does God heal the brokenhearted? He sends someone to them to love them. He sent Jesus to love us, to lay down his life for us. That's what Jesus said. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life. He sent Jesus to lay down his life. And then Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. How does God heal brokenhearted people today? He sends someone to love them. Who does he send? You and me. He sends us to love them. And loving still means laying down our lives. It's not easy to love some brokenhearted people. There's some very unlovely people that need us. How do we love that which is unlovely? It's very hard. We stumble. We want to do what's right. We want to serve the Lord. We want to love people. But how do we do it? Because we stumble over that part about laying down our lives. But Jesus, he is not hard to love. He is altogether lovely. If we have our eyes on Jesus, we share his heart. We find out that he so much desires to reach and touch the lives of brokenhearted people. He enjoys that. He delights in it. And he asks us to be part of it. He asks us to go with him and show love. It makes it, when we do it that way, when we share the heart of Jesus, we get close to him. That's what gives us the strength to love the unlovely. And we can go and be his instruments of love. We can lay down our lives. A small sacrifice from us, God will multiply in love unto the brokenhearted. Another thing that I believe the Lord would require of us, if we seek first the kingdom of God, that means we need to be concerned about building his kingdom. God is always building his kingdom. He's always working towards the plan that he has. And we are to work with him. It says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, it says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We are workers together with Jesus in building his kingdom. And we've received great grace for that purpose. But it's possible to receive the grace of God in vain. That means we receive his grace, but we don't do with it what it was given us to do. We're supposed to be workers together with him. So I would just say that you would see what God is saying to you and look at your own life. Are you building the kingdom of God? Are you actively involved in bringing people into the kingdom of God? It's so easy for us to get self-focused and we say, well, I know I need to get sin out of my life. I need to get close to the Lord. I need to put away all those things, the past and all the stuff I was involved in, and try to get my life cleaned up and start going to church and doing the Christian thing. And it becomes all self-focused, you know, and we're really neglecting the fact that we need to not only look at our own lives, but part of looking at our own lives is reaching out to others, building the kingdom of God. This is something that we know. I'm not saying anything new. We all have heard so many messages how important it is to share our faith, to be a witness, to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, to invite others into the kingdom of God, to be concerned about building the kingdom of God. We need to always check our hearts and see, are we really doing that? Because we do need to have our hearts right with God. We do need to put sinful practices and things out of our lives. But I just have this feeling that many of us are neglecting something. The Bible says in James 4, verse 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We can't really have our lives in line with the will of the Lord unless we are doing what we know the Lord wants us to do. And that's a little heavy. I know all of us need to look at ourselves. Are we really doing our everything for Jesus? Are we concerned about building the kingdom of God? You know, God will bless us. He'll take care of us. What we need to do is focus on what His work is for us to do. Build the kingdom of God. He'll take care of everything else. We'll be blessed. The blessings, we don't have to chase after the blessings. He'll come and He'll chase after us and bless us if we'll be willing to do that. So pray about it. Pray about if you would like an opportunity to help. Maybe God is calling you right here to this city. I know many, there's much need right here. Maybe God has laid on your heart to reach out to the poorest of the poor. We're here to help facilitate that. You can talk to us. There's many ways you can help reach the unreached, build the kingdom of God in India. So thank you. I want to invite Pastor Brito to come now and share some testimonies and updates about what's going on in India. And okay, Pastor, do you want to come and share? Thank you very much. God bless you.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor, inviting us again. And I'm so glad to be here. Whenever I come to America, I feel like, Lord, I need to go back again to India. Every time when I come here, that's what I feel like, because everywhere I will see the people are... Yesterday we were in some of that outreach, and I was thinking, Lord, I just shared with my dad, Lowell, that if we conduct this outreach in Dindigul, how many people you expect? Like thousands of people we can gather for that outreach. Because, I don't know, God is pouring out a lot of burden in my heart about India and about my people. As all you know about India, because India is the Hindu nation, more than 83 to 85% of people, they are Hindus. Over a billion people, they are living in India. They are worshipping 33 million gods. Still many villages, they don't know about Jesus. Still when we go to the remote villages, people are asking, who is that guy? We never seen that man in our village. But I believe that God chose us to preach the gospel, to reach these people. Excuse me. Because when Jesus went to heaven, He gave us that authority. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, He had called unto Him His 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease. And verse 8, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. We can read all these. Jesus gave us the power to preach the gospel. In India, we have a 28 missionaries. They are going every day to preach the gospel. Per week, they are reaching 150 villages through the Bible studies, children's ministry, reaching new villages per week, 150. They are working every day, they are preaching the gospel. Last week when I was talking with one of our missionary, he was sharing one testimony about he and his friend. They went to preach the gospel. They were preaching the gospel. They distribute the gospel tracts to one rich man. He has a big house. He was sitting outside of his porch, and the team, they sat and they began to share the gospel to him. So this man asked, "I don't need that foreign God, that Jesus. Maybe you can go and share some of the poor people." Then he said to the team, "I have everything I need. I have a big house. I have a lot of money. I have everything. I don't need anything. I didn't do anything wrong. I am helping some of the people. But you are the one who seems like you are doing something. I don't know. I didn't understand why you are sharing about this God." Then the team began to explain to this man, "I know you have everything in this world. But I have the faith. When I die, I'm going to have the big reward in heaven. Because Jesus is going to give me the big reward. I'm going to live in heaven." Then he explained about the story, what Jesus talked about, that Lazarus story. "You have everything, but just think about if you die tonight, who is going to, will you have all your riches?" "No. More than your riches, your soul is very important because Jesus loves you." That rich man, he got convicted. He told, "I'm sorry, I thought this is what my life, just I have everything. But now I found I need a Jesus because I did a lot of wrong things too." The day he invited the team instead of his house, and he called his families, and the day they received the Lord. I give the glory and honor to the Lord. Like this, I can say a lot of testimonies. God is moving in the remote villages. It's not easy to preach the gospel in the remote villages. Recently, even we hear that the Hindu extremists, they formed the team, they are training the youth guys. They are going and preaching about Hinduism. They are preaching to the people, "Don't allow any Christians in your village. If they come, and just chase them out." But God is using our missionaries to reach these remote villages. One day, one of our missionaries, they were preaching the gospel. These two men, when they were preaching the gospel, one man, he came, he asked, "Are you the Christians?" Then the team told, "Yes, we are Christians. We are sharing about Jesus, and he can forgive your sin and he can heal your sickness." Then this man asked them, "I need a prayer. Please pray for me. Does Jesus can heal my stomach pain? I have a many months I have a severe stomach pain. I don't know. I went to the doctors, but I didn't have any healing. Can you pray for me?" So the team, they asked, "Lord Jesus, you have to heal this man because he's trusting you." They prayed for this man. I give the glory and honor to the Lord. After 10 minutes, he brought that whole village, more than 180 to 100 people, they gathered. Do you know why? Right after God healed that man. Like in the Samaritan woman, how Jesus interfered with her. Same, he brought all the village people. He told, "Look, this man, you know, I have a stomach pain, but I went to the doctor many days. I didn't have the healing, but they're saying the true God about Jesus. They're the true, he's the true God." That day, all they received the Lord. That time when they were praying and they were very happy, some drunkard man, he came, "Hey, what's going on here? why you are gathering here? Are these people are sharing about this foreign God? Hey, you should not come here. And all the village people said, if you speak anything against these people, you will be in big trouble. So they stick up for the team. I give the glory and honor to the Lord. Our missionaries, they are going every day to preach the gospel. God is with them. And when I talk with each missionary, that's what they are telling. Even 2 days before, one of our missionaries, he wrote to me, he told me, Pastor, I don't know, I feel like I want to do more for God. They are reaching every day many villages, many Bible studies. Still they are telling, Pastor, I want to reach more. I want to do something more for Him. I want to do something for Jesus. I pray that God can use you to encourage them. Then the verse 8, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. You all watched that video, how privileged you are. Just think about many years, their own relatives, their own son and daughters, they rejected them because of they have a leprosy. When we went to that New Life colony, really, I believe that God moved in that colony because of their tears. First time when we visited the, after the second trip when we went, many of the people, they said that God healed them. Many of them they can see. And that's really, we give the glory and honor to the Lord. The another thing I want to witness, you've seen in the video about that blood-sucking bugs. I experienced that. When I lived in the village, we have a small tent house, like a coconut leaf house we had. Actually, in the floors in the some remote villages, they won't have in the cement. They will use the sand and the cow waste. Like they will mix it with the water, then they will be... Then after they will clean it, it will be very clean. But each hurts, like a small hurts, you can see these blood-sucking bugs. When these bugs bite you, you cannot sense it. After this bug finishes sucking your blood, then you will feel something, pain. You can feel sense. Then when you touch it, you can see that bug is drinking all your blood. Then after that, you can see the big lump in that place, big lump. Just imagine that 20 years, 30 years in this New Life colony, many of these lepers, their eyes, they cannot see. They have already the deformities, but they suffer with that. But I praise God. God used our ministry to give them the new life to them. And God used our ministry. Also recently, the government, they had a water source and it's from the long other side of the road. They have to go from there, they get the water. But now the government, they're extending the road. So because of that, the government is going to destroy 3 wells for this colony. They're not going to have any water anymore. When we went to that, the team, the people, they requested us, sir, I don't know what to do about the water. We give the glory and honor to the Lord and love. Many times that officials, they tried to get the water in that area, but they couldn't find it any water source. But we prayed and we searched the water source in that colony. Now we got the water source and soon they're going to have the good water. And we give the glory and honor to the Lord. And God is using our ministry to reach these people and touch them. I can share a lot of testimony. This year God used our ministry to reach 10,000 leprosy friends, different cities and different leprosy colonies and different societies. And one night we were searching the leprosies in the bus stands and the common places. And one man, he said to us that, sir, I am living in the street 20 years. I never seen anybody is coming to me and giving me the blanket. Somebody loves me. Then our team, they were cleaning their wounds and giving them medicine. And he was so thankful and he said, I believe that Jesus is the true God. Just think about that. God can use you. God can use you to change many lives. And thank you for this time. God bless you. Thank you.
There's a lot of things that you can give to and to support. There's a lot of good missions work. So why do we, you know, support Independent Church in India so strongly? It's pretty much the only foreign mission thing that we, you know, bring in like this once a year. And I don't preach, they do. And there's a couple reasons why I think we support and why my family supports and a lot of our families here support Independent Church in India. The first reason is that when you give to an Independent Church in India, what you give to is what your money goes to. It's 100%. There's no overhead. Their overhead is based on faith. And you give $30 a month to a native missionary, it goes to that native missionary. It is an extremely just basic faith-based organization. It is about as grassroots as you can find. That is one reason. Another reason is because the beauty of Independent Church in India is its heart of compassion. I think that it strives to deal with the lowest of the low, the poorest of the poor. The beauty of America, and the reason why we have been the place to come to for immigrants for hundreds of years, is because America is a land of opportunity. If you want to work hard and if you can keep your head above water long enough, you can make something of yourself. In the caste system of India, you cannot. There's no opportunity. There's no freedom. If you're an untouchable, you're an untouchable, pure and simple. And so is your child with you. You know, it's just the way that it is. And the opportunity being moved with compassion to push back against an evil system like the caste system, to help those who are in such need is a great, great opportunity. And I appreciate and lastly believe in the heart of the missions-based work that goes on there. This is missions done the right way, in my opinion, where it's not rich white Americans going into a broken place with a lot of answers. It's resources of America being used in whatever way it is that native leaders need it to be used. And when Lowell and Kathy go, they don't go as answer people. They go as support people. And they go as workers here. And they spend half of their year here raising support for the work of these native missionaries and of Pastor Brito and his brother to do the work in India. That is missions done the right way. Sending a bunch of white people to indigenous places with a bunch of answers has turned out to be the wrong way to do missions. Training natives to reach natives. We want to instill within people the need to spread the gospel themselves. That's a great movement. That's the way to do things. And Independent Church in India has its pulse well on that by training up and supporting and sending out native leaders to reach native peoples, where resources, American resources, can be stewarded well in such a way that it breathes life into a really, really broken place. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it removes American arrogance from the equation. All that to say, you need to do what God tells you to do. You need to follow God's heart. You need to follow God's will for you in this. If God desires for you to support, great. If God desires for you to support to go to somewhere else, wonderful. You need to do what God tells you to do. If you desire today, maybe not to sign up, but are moved in the future, you can always access Independent Church in India's website off of our website. We have a link to it, and you can get in touch with ICII that way and be used by God together in that. The most great thing in the whole video, I don't know about you, but for me, was the dude Raj that came in, you know, just, I mean, literally on his deathbed, and a year later, he's up dancing around the fellowship hall. You know, when I look at the work of Jesus, that just seems like the work of Jesus. And it's a really, really beautiful thing. One other thing that blows my mind is that the verse that Dennis read and taught us about this morning, about don't worry, Jesus said those as much for the lepers who are dying in India as he does for us with comfortable salaries here in America. I mean, the word is all the same all across the board. Don't worry. Don't be concerned about you rather be concerned about the kingdom. And it blows my mind that Jesus speaks this unilaterally to all people everywhere. But it's only because, I mean, if anybody has a reason to worry, it's a leper. You know, if anybody has a reason to worry, it's an orphan. If anybody's got reason to be concerned for themselves and wondering what the heck's going to happen, it's those people. But Jesus says, no, don't worry. If you're a leper in India, if you make hundreds of thousands of dollars in America, don't worry. And the reason why is because of the object of our faith, not because of the resources that we have at hand. When your faith is placed in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you're a leper in India or a millionaire in America. We are all the same when we're standing before the cross, people deeply in need of Jesus. And so rather than give a benediction today, we're going to sing a praise song, a song of praise that's been sung for, a word and a phrase that's been sung for centuries and centuries about who Jesus is. Hosanna. Hosanna, the King has come. And it's the same for us here in America that it is for our brothers and sisters in India. And so we end today with worship.